girls don't fart, only skeevy stoners fart.
Oh, well, what if you're both?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's our annual movie night with Byron Miller, Tony Miller, and Ron Bauman. We watched Suing the Devil with Malcolm McDowell. We thought it'd be a lot of fun. We were wrong.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Molly Glover. And we are also joined by our good friends and movie buddies. I don't know if we can call them that.
Not anymore.
But, we have Byron Miller back with us.
Hello.
We have Ron Bauman.
Hey, I'm hurt.
And we have Tony Miller.
Make the pain stop.
Well, the pain technically is already over because we watched a film called Suing the Devil.
It's Bad Jesus Movie Night!
Yay! Hey, can I open up with remembering? I distinctly remember we agreed that the next time we were doing this, we were going to do something we enjoyed.
We did, and you weren't here for it.
God damn it!
Yeah. We tried to do a better movie, I swear. I looked up hilariously bad Christian movies and got a good list, and like this was the only one we could find. A lot of them were either too recent or a little too niche.
Yeah.
But this Australian delight, Suing the Devil.
Suing the Devil. Starring Malcolm McDowell,
who was also a producer on the film.
Turns out produced by
himself. Yeah. You know, he wanted to make
so
some of
not
that.
Not blameless.
No.
Yeah.
Has-beens like Corbin Burnson.
Yep.
And Tom Sizemore.
Right.
He's not even a has-been. He was on like
that's true.
8 seasons of Psych fairly recently.
Is Tom Sizemore in this movie?
That was Meat Face.
Oh
my God, yeah. I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah. It was the veil of shame that made him.
Yeah.
He had some substance abuse problems, and I think this is how far he has fallen.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Maybe he got his way out of substance abuse by finding Jesus, and is a part of that.
I'm just saying, I did hard drugs for a decade, and I pretty much look the same. What?
the wrong hard drugs.
Yeah.
Ron, last year we watched Don Verdeen with Sam Rockwell, which is really good.
That was actually good. That was actually good.
No.
Good is generous.
I failed.
It was entertaining. It was solid.
Yeah. That was the archaeology
one, right?
Yeah.
Can we go back to Dark Dungeons? That's all I'm
saying.
We tried.
Actually, I think I rented Don Verdeen on your guys'...
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Suing the Devil.
Suing the Devil. 2016.
Basically,
2011.
No, 2011.
Oh, 2011, sorry.
2011. I just want to kind of frame it for our listeners here.
Please.
What I'm going to tell you right now is we're going to spoil the shit out of it. Now, I'm not saying we're going to spoil the shit out of it in hopes that you will go watch it and then come back to listen to that. No, what I'm doing is I'm saying we're going to spoil the shit out of it so you don't have to watch it.
Tim, I'd argue it was already spoiled.
It was, yeah.
Like old meat.
It's dead on arrival. So, basically, there's this guy whose name escapes me and it doesn't matter.
Nope.
And he's Australian, unlike many of the
Australian Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Unlike many other characters in this film who are not Australian, even though the film does seem to be set in Australia.
There was a lot of Sydney Opera House for it not to be Australia.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of weird-ass Cajun accents.
Yeah.
Melbourne.
There was definitely like an Australian person doing a Tennessee accent.
And so much of the music was free to use music.
Yeah, public
domain. I wonder if a lot of their shots were B-roll that they bought.
They could only use public domain accents.
Sorry, you can't afford to use an actual Australian accent.
You need public domain accents.
There are a few shots of our protagonist near the Sydney Bridge, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least 7 or 8 shots were made with our hero.
I'd say 6.
In Australia. Well, maybe 6.
International Rule of Law 666.
Oh, 666.
Yeah, I can't do an Oscar.
Don't spoil it. We'll get there.
All right.
We'll
So he's pissed off at God, as many people are.
Because of some tragedy.
Because it's been the worst year of his life.
Right.
Yeah, they went the angry atheist route. Yep. Only, you know, all this bad stuff happened to him, and cleverly they referenced Job. All this bad stuff happened to him, and rather than doing what any reasonable person do, which is swear off God, he decides, let's sue the devil.
What's weird is all this bad stuff seems to amount to his mom got killed by a drunk driver.
Well, there was something,
and the drunk driver got off.
And the got off.
There was, something else, but it was so insignificant.
Oh, his account got hacked.
Yeah.
In the beginning, he's like screaming at a bank teller. And what do you mean the account's gone? You can't lose an account.
It was an awful acted phone conversation.
How could you
too.
Let this happen?
Hang on a second. Can we spoil the ending now? Because I genuinely have a question.
Yes.
I'm actually going to ask that we talk about this movie and then do the ending.
Okay.
Yeah. We got it.
One of the climax of all the bad things happening is him going to go kill himself. And then realizing that he brought the gun but didn't bring the bullet.
No, he's going to kill the drunk driver.
Yeah. That's it. That's
By the way, that was the worst goddamn prop gun. You know why he couldn't open it to see it was empty? Because it wasn't a real fucking gun.
He gets in the car and he goes, kidding me? I forgot the bullets.
Wait. What's in the glove box?
A Bible.
A Bible? What's that doing in here?
Because the Australian Gideons are very on top of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every new car in Australia has a Bible in the glove box. He's got a Shawshank Redemption moment where he's going to go and kill, but he ends up not. And then he decides to sue the devil.
Yes.
In
international court. Even though, I mean...
How he got there, I don't know.
We don't know. But the point is
he's gone to a certain guy's night school for law.
Yeah.
But he hasn't yet taken the bar.
We have to point out that the judge said, if you can serve a summons to the devil, I will allow this trial to happen. Please tell us, Tony... How'd they serve that summons?
So, there's one, this is another evangelical spooge job on the screen. Okay, get that. That's all we see. So, this man goes around to all the evil people in the world. He serves an oil company. He serves a strip club.
Law office.
A law office. And he also serves... some punk kids.
Gothmore.
They're Satan.
One of them has a shirt that says 666 on it.
The other one says Satan rules.
Satan rules.
Yeah, so.
Because in this movie, honestly, Satan did rule.
And Satan had really some truthful lines.
It was a little scary, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, anyway, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But who was Satan?
Malcolm McDowell.
Alexander Delarge, my droogies.
So Satan shows up. Satan shows up and he's like, all right, I will allow you to sue me.
For $8 trillion.
Da-da-da-da. Close up on Dr. Evil.
And Satan gets 10 of the most evil and corrupt lawyers on the planet with varying degrees
names.
Of accents. There's Miss Shy, there's the lovely Miss Scarlet, there's Mr. Think Tank.
His real name is Mr. Think Tank.
I like Miss Black.
We know.
Yeah. Miss Black, the token Asian.
Miss Black was the Asian. I know what you're thinking, but no.
No. This movie has depth.
I like how when they're talking about all the different lawyers, they're like, this lawyer, they defended casinos and whatever, and this lawyer, they did that. This one's Asian. This one...
Liked when there were a lot of lawyer jokes in this when he goes to serve the summons at the law office to the receptionist. He's like, I'm looking for Satan. She's like, we have 70 lawyers here. Take your pick.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair,
To be fair.
I don't know what that reference is, but I fucking love it. Malcolm McDowell killed in this. He did.
Oh my god.
He did the best he could do with. I imagine he ad-libbed half of those lines.
The scenery was all chewed up.
Chewed up. Oh, yeah. But he lacked an editor. He lacked a director. It's like, okay, pull it back a bit. Do a little bit more here. And then hearing him do these swelling, compelling speeches that went on entirely too long, and that meanwhile have a public domain music in the background, yeah. Just took a tiny little bit away from it.
Tim, did you say
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
That one line was ad-libbed? Was that something you read, or was that a guess?
Yeah, no. There's a line where he says he hates Kiss, that Tom Jones is...
I'm a Tom Jones man.
That was ad-libbed by Malcolm McDowell because he is, in fact, a Tom Jones man.
Oh.
I will say this. I've seen more violence in this film toward fellow actors than I have seen in Rambo films. Malcolm slapped three separate actors in the face and one really hard back slap, all of which would have gotten a punch in real life.
Three of the four, they were his own lawyers.
Yeah.
He was slapping his own lawyers.
And then he slapped the guy who was suing him.
But he's the devil. He's the devil.
And it's lawyers. You can slap all those you want.
That's true. No, he's slapping actors.
Here's so...
Bad,
black and brown, and
bad
on the
actors.
But not this producer. Film.
Technically actors.
So then what happens is they go to court, and in one of my favorite things, before the court opens, they give this, and it's a voiceover. So much of this is voiceover by the protagonist.
And the audio quality is very different.
Oh my God.
And he says, well, the jurors were already selected because they passed a law where they could be random.
Some new law.
I mean, the line is literally, some new law.
Yeah.
That's what he says. There's some new law where the jurors are randomly selected.
By computer.
Which is true.
Which was passed in 1977 in Australia.
Yeah, but...
Which is just like ours. They select people who are enrolled as citizens for voting.
New 34-year-old law.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
And it's Australia's the same as the United States. You join a jury pool. That doesn't mean you're on the jury.
Right.
You get pulled from that pool into a courtroom. You get questioned and maybe seated on the jury.
Yeah.
But no, they're saying no, they just...
There was no voir dire. They just put him on the jury.
We're suing the devil. Are you sure you want to get hung up on legal technicalities on this?
And I mean, clearly they did this just because they didn't want to do the questioning of the jurors.
Or couldn't.
Yeah.
Or what? Yeah.
Time.
Yeah,
and
you
money.
Noticed none of the jurors spoke, so they didn't have to pay.
I'm no lawyer. I'm no lawyer, but clearly neither was anyone who made this movie.
They couldn't even take the time to watch a law drama or to study.
You switched back and forth from the prosecution and the defense. You never knew.
Each witness was called at least six times.
And they're only, like, other than the priest that, or the
ministers.
Reverend, the ministers, yeah. There were only the two.
There was this early subplot where our hero, Luke O'Brien, needs, because he's gone to night law school, but he hasn't passed the bar.
It's like Bill's upstairs law school.
Because he hasn't passed the bar, he has to ask this young girl she just passed the bar, and she hasn't ever had a law client before, but he needs her to take this case to be his lawyer.
Her first trial.
She never speaks. He does all of the witness questioning himself.
He does all of the objections, the opening statement, the closing statement.
She tried two objections.
Yep.
And she got shut down both times. I think she cross-examined once.
Yeah. She asked a question. No, the thing about these televangelistic kind of movies that are just so self-satisfied, they're so misogynistic. They're so racist. And it's just so pervasive.
Oh, yeah. I should point out the one evil lawyer that is black-ish.
A little, yeah.
Maybe
he's mixed
race. Anyway.
He's mixed.
His character name, I don't know if you saw this in the credits, was Mr. In Yo Face.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's the guy that, like, quite literally was screaming in the face of Luke O'Brien. And then when the young lady, brand new baby attorney, made her question and she said, he's scolding my witness. The other lawyer was like, oh, what's next? He made my witness cry. Oh, he's mean to me. And it's it's like those are actually all actual objections.
I think we need to apologize, by the way, to anybody from Australia listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
We are super sorry about all the lame Australian accents.
I am not sorry.
If you watch this movie, you'll understand that our accents are no worse than many of the accents.
Did you apologize to me?
Even with Malcolm McDowell, I promise I did fall asleep for at least 5 minutes of this movie. And I consider it a gift from the God I don't believe in, okay?
Do you know which vibe?
No.
This is an 86-minute movie that felt like 2 hours.
Yeah.
At least God Is Not Dead had fairly accurate legal proceedings. This is all about a courtroom proceeding where you sue the devil.
And they knew nothing about it.
And they know nothing about courtroom proceedings.
No, to be fair, though, we're having this discussion about what a courtroom proceeding is, but how often have we watched or experienced a civil suit as opposed to a criminal suit?
Because
we're talking about prosecution, and there isn't. We're talking about, you know, a whole different, you know, well, they called the witnesses 3 or 4 times.
As a child who sat through many of my mother's civil trials.
Oh, good. Enlighten us.
This was way, way less boring than those trials. And, yeah, there's all kind of, this was treated like some kind of bastard child of civil and criminal court. Like,
it was in an international court, and I'm not sure you can do a civil suit in international court.
Excuse me. Oh my god.
Well, okay. Alright, so
we haven't covered that yet.
I wanna get back to that because I have two serious questions on this
one. Okay.
Serious question number one. During the setup, during the look at how horrible my life and everything is bad and blah blah blah, she was ill.
Mom killed by a drunk driver.
But
got off. Bank account stolen.
And
wife coughing.
The wife was ill.
Was that before or after?
Wife coughed.
Wife was coughing, and he seemed to be very concerned, but then later was like, oh my God, are you sick?
Well, we haven't gotten there. We haven't gotten there yet.
She was coughing, and he was concerned.
Here's my other question.
In the courtroom, it gets revealed to him that she's sick. He doesn't know. He finds out during
the...
By the devil!
But we've seen it. We saw it even before. We saw it clearly during the court.
We saw her cough.
Okay.
All right. Maybe that cough plants the idea of her being sick in
right.
his mind.
I think that you're thinking about this much more than the writers did.
We're talking around something
we'll get to. But here's my other serious question. And this is... I think this is probably telling and revealing. At one point... Oh, don't knock at the table? Yeah, that might be a little bit bad. At one point, the protagonist is talking to Satan and saying, I'm a Christian, and I struggle every day to honor Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm an atheist. I live a really pretty fucking good life, language notwithstanding. What the hell's going on in your head, dude?
Yeah,
it's so
really not
hard.
A struggle.
Yeah, really.
Apparently, the protagonist in the movie said fuck once in traffic.
And used a racial epitaph.
He also masturbated 342 times in his life.
Was that the whole life, or was that?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, he looked at
porn.
Internet.
342 times.
Excuse me. He did internet porn.
Yes.
Oh well.
Yes.
Actually, I have friends who do internet porn, so maybe it's a whole different thing we're talking about.
But he did it.
Well, they should never sue Satan because it'll be brought up again.
Yeah,
but he did it before he got married.
Yeah.
Except, we don't know.
Never since
that
I
might
got
not
married.
Actually.
Well, he says. Well, I mean, they could have called out if he was lying. They would have if he, because he says, "I never did it since I got married," or something equally grammatically messed up.
Can we?
And
how long deep are we into the recording so far?
About halfway.
Can we just talk about the ending now, please?
Sure.
We got it.
I'm gonna do a quick run up.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interlocution back and forth between the protagonist and antagonist, Satan and this guy Luke. Bah, bah, bah. Luke O'Brien. They're quoting scripture to each other. The judge goes back and forth. Satan steps forth and holds forth his majesty after he's, you know, be rebuked to get behind him, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he's revealed to be Satan after he says he's not because Luke invokes the name of Jesus Christ,
right.
And that makes steam come out of his ears.
And a ball of flame come out of his
mouth. Yeah.
Really bad CGI.
Get you behind me, Satan was kind of okay.
Yes, right. That was weird. Bad camera angles. And then his wife is revealed to have brain cancer.
Brain cancer.
And so all of
coughing
this is coming
from the
together.
Brain cancer.
The jury does reach a conclusion, which we'll get back to later. And Ron, take it away.
What is the absolute worst, most trite, goddamn cliche ending on the planet?
I don't know, Ron. Tell me.
And it was all a dream.
That's right. He fell asleep in the law library of his night school. And
before we pass the bomb.
That was, okay, so hold on. The
guess
parts,
I'm so bossy.
So the parts where his mom was dead from the drunk driver, his wife was coughing, and he was screaming at the bank teller because his account was hacked, that was all real.
We think.
It seemed that way. Yeah. The part where he was going to drive out to kill the guy who killed his mom, but he forgot the bullets, that seemed to be real.
We had to be real because the wife was like, yeah.
That was all real.
Shawshank Redemption moment was totally real.
At some point, he went to a library and then fell asleep.
But we never see that.
We never saw
that. No, we did. We saw him in the library.
We did.
We saw him in the library, but we thought in the conceit of the movie, it was that he was going to research what to do to his sue Satan. And so then instead he fell asleep and had this fantastic dream.
Fucked up dream.
But he was shouting, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because the librarian didn't wake him up, even though he was literally there overnight.
And he wakes up, and what does he see right in front of him? A poster of the God delusion.
Anti-God.
It's basically like the title of it was like the God.
Yeah.
The Injustice of God.
The Injustice of God by the Anti-God group. And it's Malcolm McDowell's face.
Was Satan.
Oh, I guess it was my brain. And he rushes home.
The atheists were Satan all along.
Rushes home and he screams at his wife, "Are you sick? Tell me the truth, are you sick?" And she's not sick, and she was just so worried.
And she's like, "I found a gun in your car."
Right next to the Bible.
Yes, it was all a dream.
All a dream. Because this movie wasn't crappy enough.
Yeah.
They had them do it one step more cliche.
Super Mario 2'd themselves.
To kind of point out the quality of this film, I think Molly said it best. It was, all of these were done like in one shot.
Oh, yeah.
They did not have a whole lot of money for this.
There were clearly no retakes.
There's no retakes. Yeah. The CGI was just awful.
At one point, the judge drops her gavel.
No, it broke. The head broke off. That's why she looked.
I thought she just dropped it.
That's what I thought.
And she looks at it like, oh, and they. That was in the movie.
At another point, the judge hits herself on the chest. And that's where her mic is. Mm-hmm. So you hear the mic super loud. She does it.
No, and the editing toward the end, they must have just gotten tired. Because the editing,
I was tired.
We'd swing through and people were not standing when the judge came in. The defense or the, Luke or Satan were in the jury box back and front. It got so incoherent.
Towards the beginning, when they're first walking up towards the courthouse, there are a number of scenes where the boom keeps dropping into the frame as they're walking up to the courthouse. And then one of the reporters that walks up to them up to them holding a detached boom mic upside down.
With the wind sock.
Putting the furry mic up in his face from below, holding it upside down.
Luke, why do you hate God?
Right before Satan cursed one of the other reporters. Yeah. There were a couple of moments of delight in there. That one was fun.
From an editing perspective, one of my favorite moments that one of the evil lawyer dream team is Miss Scarlet. And Luke is on the witness stand because, of course, he's...
It's like the fourth or fifth time.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, he just keeps ending up on the witness stand. And they get rid of one lawyer and they're like, "All right, we're going to have you questioned by the lovely... Miss Scarlet."
The lovely Miss Scarlet.
And you get this look on his face like, oh,
that's
shit.
That's her full name.
One of the other lawyers is like, "Yeah, we got him this time." And then it cuts away and we don't see what happened.
We never see what she does.
I don't know what she did.
I have another question, and I'm sorry to have another serious question about this clearly sub-sewage movie. They made this big deal out of firing the one skeletal lawyer like it was some sort of clever ploy.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Mr. Think Tank?
Yeah. No consequences. Oh, yeah. Nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah. What's this setup for? It's like blind guy setup.
Oh, yeah. Blind guy. Satan encounters a blind guy who's wearing a sign. I don't know who made him the sign, but the sign says, in marker, the end is near.
No,
isn't it?
No,
something like that.
It's like... God is real.
I thought it was I thought it was the end is near. He's like, well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and even though I'm blind, I can see the end is coming.
That's right. He talks about how, like, I believe this is the final generation.
Yeah, even though I'm blind, I can see.
That's right.
This is the final generation.
And that's the code for the evangelical fucks that get on the weirdest stand.
That's the scariest shit to me.
Oh, man. Yeah, those guys are scary.
That what I think what they were trying to do with, I think the purpose was intended to be for that scene, was to show us, the audience, before the protagonist figures it out, that Satan's weakness is reciting Bible at him. Because that's what the blind guy does, and that's when Satan's like, I don't know, who's that blind guy? This is uncomfortable.
Yes, that's If you recite the Bible at Satan, steam comes out of his ears, and he gets upset. And
like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Even if Satan is already behind you, when you say, get thee behind me, Satan, what that means is piggyback Satan.
Oh, yes.
We're going for a ride. That was right up on the bike.
Yoda style.
Yeah.
That was really odd.
Satan, when you quote the Bible to him, he starts to burp, which, by the way, the only other piece of trivia I was able to discover about this movie, apparently that scene was put in there because, I shit you not, Malcolm McDowell can burp on cue.
He trains at, like, the Royal Academy. Of course he can.
We've got a class on that.
So, yeah, that was entirely...
And that's how I got into Juilliard.
That's, didn't you guys know? It's one of the lesser-known biblical facts. If you recite the Bible at Satan... it has the same effect as if you make a Looney Tunes character eat a hot pepper.
Well, what I find interesting, and we talked a little bit about at the beginning of this podcast, is Satan, when he's holding forth, when he's answering Luke's questions about the Bible, blah, 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 he actually says a lot of what we as atheists say about God.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
You know, God is the one who killed millions, if not a billion people, when he flooded the world. How do you know why? You know, we can prove God is.
Says, how does my body count compared to that?
Exactly.
So maybe that's not accidental. Maybe when they're quoting us back, because when we start to defend ourselves, they'll be able to dismiss us. Oh,
you sound like Satan.
Yeah, that's exactly what Satan said.
It was a setup. Absolutely.
It was kind of funny that Satan quoted Revelations as, look at all the people he killed in Revelations. And it's like, bitch, that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. That's the whole...
Well, they had these evangelical ministers. One was Pringle, who's from... yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I just want to eat that one. He's from New Zealand. He moved over to Sydney and started in televangelist movement. But they did the same thing. It's somehow as if when they quote scripture in this movie, or they cross-examine quoting scripture, or they ask these ministers, the international judge will say, okay, you know, it's as if they just accept it as fact.
Right.
It's like they live in such this fantasy little worldview. It's so disheartening.
It's said
like
the Bible, therefore.
Yeah, they're facts.
Really. Someone even said during the trial, if you take the Bible literally.
Well, and then he said, the Bible has always been our best historical source.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, And there's one point where the lawyer, one of the lawyers for Satan, talks about the Bible being just a bunch of fairy tales, and they object to it, and the judge overrules them. So the judge is like, no, the Bible is not a bunch of fairy tales. The Bible is real.
Yeah.
That's what the judge is saying from the bench.
To some degree, I feel like if the judge was going to say, you know what, the Bible is a bunch of fairy tales, why are we suing the devil, right? Like, that made a little bit of sense to me, at least.
You're giving them way more credit.
Oh, my God.
This was, as I was saying earlier before, this was bad high school script writing. There's a lot of good scripts that come out of high school. This wasn't one of them.
Yeah, it was
very inconsistent in all its arguments, execution, the way it showed everything. It just felt like whatever they felt like they needed to do or wanted to say in the court, they just did that in no particular order, just kind of slapdash together. Well, we need them to say this argument. Okay, yeah, just write that.
This movie, along those lines, Kirk Cameron Saves Christmas was a lot like that. This movie makes that movie look better.
Yeah.
It really
does. Makes it look well organized.
At least
it makes me long for God Is Not Dead.
Come on, Ron.
No, I agree with Ron. This was a bad film.
I have an idea. Okay, so like instead of five questions, what if we each come up with a question we would ask the devil if the devil was on the stand?
All right.
Okay, so I have mine. The question I would ask the devil if the devil was on the stand is, all right, is why brimstone? It stinks. Right? Because he said he was all about noise. Yeah. He invented noise, but did he invent stink? I think he might have, and I would like to get him on the hook for that.
Yeah, nice.
All right, who else?
Anyone? Question you would ask the devil? Anyone?
The actual devil.
Actual devil.
Mm-hmm. I would wonder.
Yeah.
Do you actually have to do anything at all?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh.
Good question.
Because according to the Bible itself, not Dante's Inferno, which we take as the devil, the devil doesn't rule hell. He was cast into a lake of fire. That's
He's as much of a victim as the rest of us.
Was it the Inferno or was it Milton?
No, it was a lake of fire.
Hmm. Well, but the idea that I'd rather
rule over hell,
rain in hell, and then rule in heaven. Yeah.
That one's Milton, right?
Yeah, that's Milton.
Yeah, and. Oh, did I say Dante's Inferno?
Well, yeah, you did.
That's all right.
Lakes of Fire and Chains of Ice are Dante.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think I'd ask him as like, all right, just between us girls, Satan.
Just between us girls.
You're still on God's payroll.
Ah. Aren't you? Yeah.
I want to see the pay stub.
Where's that 8 trillion coming from?
Well, not just that, but it is. He serves a very important role. Right. The idea that if there was a Jesus, he had some good ideas, and then the church fucked it all up. The idea that if there was a Satan, he served a purpose, and now the church has turned him into this caricature of tempting and this and this and this. He had a job.
Yeah.
Here's the people that failed. I have to watch them. I'm still God's chosen one. Mm-hmm. You know?
Satan is just God's unacknowledged CIA agent who's like out there.
He takes.
He's a double agent.
He's been disavowed.
Yeah,
you're my favorite. So I'm going to give you my most important task.
Have you guys seen the movie The Prophecy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We should see it again.
Yeah. All right.
We should that next year.
All right.
With so good,
Is that Jude? No, which movie?
Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out.
It is.
Ron would want to follow the money.
Yeah, I want to know specifically.
Yeah.
You're still working for him. It's not just the money. You're still filling a role for him.
He's still calling your shots.
Bessa.
Along those lines, I would like to ask the question. He was the mightiest of heaven's hosts. He knew God more than any other creation of God. When he rebelled against God and a third of the heavenly hosts got cast down with him, why?
What was the
why did you rebel against the creator? And now obviously I can do my own interpretations of it, but I would seriously like to know.
Because
history was written by the winner, and I love this in atheist circles. They're always asking, how do we know God is a good one?
But you know, answered. I mean, it's clearly been answered in
heaven.
It's clearly been answered in some fiction, but wasn't it answered because the angels were jealous that God created man and gave him free will, which brings up
that's dogma.
Brings up my story again. Well, not just brings up my question again is, angels don't have free will.
Mm-hmm.
How did you rebel?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Angels don't have free will.
Right. That's what's
why are you in fucking
hell?
Well,
it's not.
That's what's
it's
different
not,
about man, right?
It's not necessarily because they gave him free will. It's he loved them more.
But if angels didn't have free will, then how did they rebel?
Exactly. That's my question. Is
a good question.
Why?
Yeah. Why?
Followed up by the how.
Why and how? Yes.
My question's a lot less philosophical and a little bit more cryptozoological.
How big you go?
I want to know all the freaky descriptions of all the different angels that have like 172 wings a billion eyes and all that shit. I just want to be like, describe in detail all the terrifying physical.
What is those cherubim?
I want to faff the cherubim.
I want to see what they look like because that shit's some non-Euclidean human psyche destroying stuff.
I want to change my question after everyone else has a question.
Tim?
My question, I mean, these are all great questions. They're very theological and smart and I like them. My question mine would just be, what do you think of The Good Place, man?
That's excellent.
Sure. Yeah.
Turns out the devil hates Kristen Bell. That's why he sucks. He's the worst.
Seriously, spending eternity praising him?
Boy. Yeah. Ryan, you changing your question?
Does Father Karras' mother really suck cock in hell? That's what I want to.
Sure.
I am changing my question to how big is your dong? All right.
I just need to know. Well, you know it's corkscrewed like a boar.
It's got to be corkscrewed. Yeah. Oh, Satan is a duck. Yeah.
If Satan's
title
any,
of the episode.
If Satan is any waterfowl, Satan is a goose.
Satan is a goose. You got a problem with Canadian Satans, you got a problem with me, and I suggest you let that one marinate.
What am I missing here?
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny.
That's the fourth Letterkenny reference in the past.
Just go watch Letterkenny.
I have to. My baby tortugas are like, this is so funny.
The
I hate
power
you.
Of Christ compels you. Yeah. Watch Letterkenny.
We just watched this movie. This was 92 minutes. You're not going to get back, but you'll get a little bit of it back if you just fucking watch Letterkenny,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Just do it, okay?
Yeah, we watched a movie.
Yeah.
This was Bad Jesus Movie Night 6.
Oh, yeah. Really, really.
Six.
Really bad.
Oh, we forgot to cover International Rule 666.
Oh, yeah, 666.
Right there on page 384.
Oh, my God. All right, look, we do have a copy of the movie on DVD.
No.
We did not pay for it. I'm pointing that out.
Yo.
And we all signed it, so there's going to be a giveaway at some point.
Yeah,
I signed it said, run, but nobody was going to listen.
He can't even spell his own name right.
It looks like it says fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
So there will be a giveaway of this horrible, horrible movie at some point. But if you have listened to this entire episode and thought to yourself at any point, oh my God, I need to see this movie, I need to tell you, no.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No. And the only way you can see it is to either pirate it, which is it's hard to find, trust me, buy a physical used copy on Amazon or something, eBay secondhand, or subscribe to a Christian Netflix service.
Yeah.
What?
Only does.
Oh, yeah. Christian Netflix stuff has all kinds of issues.
It's a Christian movie streaming site.
All right, hang on a second. Do you guys know about that? I don't know if it's still out there, but for a while there was a service that was editing all the popular movies and taking all the dirty stuff out of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
They got sued finally.
Oh, thank God.
They did. Copyright infringement.
I forgot there is one more piece of trivia that I did look up. This film came out in 2011. In 2012, this film was the most pirated movie in the world.
Oh,
in
man. It's coming up Pakistani family show.
It's,
you know why it was the most pirated movie in the world?
Stoners?
Satan.
Nice.
I'm going
to
guess.
He's got
to
get that $8 trillion somehow.
I'm going to guess from the title screen that was created on ours, it was probably mostly bootleg or downloaded
Portuguese.
By Portuguese speaking countries.
It was bootleg in Brazil. Bootleg in Brazil.
I think I heard at one point that Portuguese is the most singular, most popular language in the world.
Probably because Brazil's so big.
Right, because there's so
and
many different languages in Asia and places think.
Sure.
So many different languages, you know, and you've got so much of South and Central America that speaks Portuguese.
Ron,
I didn't look
Byron
up that.
And Tony, I just want you to know that we love you. Thank you for watching movies with us, and we're so sorry.
We thought we were picking a fun one.
We honestly were like,
your heart was in a good place, but Satan led you astray.
Well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes!
I'm sorry, they had me at Malcolm McDowell as Satan.
Yeah,
you know,
fine job.
You think that would be enough?
The road to hell is paved with litigation.
I said this on Facebook on my personal post, but I'm just going to say I thought that the rape scene in A Clockwork Orange was the worst thing I'd ever seen Malcolm McDowell act in, but I was wrong.
Okay, so we've been Geeks Without God. We want to thank Ron, Byron, and Tony for joining us.
You're welcome.
Great to have the three of you in town once a year so we can do this.
You hate us, don't you?
We tried.
Evidence.
We tried.
Hey, people out there, remind them we have to do the prophecy the next time, okay?
Yeah.
Or prophecy, whatever it is.
We have a new Patreon supporter.
Get out of town.
We do. Dan Scarab supports us on Patreon.
Dan Scarab, thank you, by the way.
So
you, Molly, you don't have to get out of town, but Ron and Byron and Tony do have
gotta
to
get the fuck
out of town pretty
soon. GTFO?
So, thanks for joining us again. We have a new Patreon supporter, which is a way to remind you all that you can support us on Patreon. It's super easy. You just click on a button, and then money gets taken out of your charge account until you're overdrawn, and you can't pay for your medical expenses. So we're sorry about that. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, the point is...
Sue Satan.
It's because of Satan.
Yeah.
The point is, it's because of Satan. Satan made us watch this movie, and you shouldn't have to. So, everybody, have a really great week knowing that you didn't watch this fucking movie.
Oh,
bye.
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 I object to this horrible, horrible movie.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Once again, this has been a thing.